57. Sir Percy held the square of cardboard at arm's length to read the inscription on the back of it. "Bremerhaven, 6th of August 1911," he said. Across the desk from him, his flag captain sat uncomfortably on the edge of the hard-packed HM issue chair. His right hand reached for his pocket, checked, and then withdrew guiltily.
"For God's sake, Henry, smoke that damn thing if you must," grunted Sir Percy.
"Thank you, sir." Gratefully, Captain Henry Green completed the reach for his pocket, brought out a gnarled briar, and began stuffing it with tobacco. Laying aside the photograph, Sir Percy took up the bedraggled sheet of paper and studied the crude, hand-drawn circles upon it, reading the descriptions that were linked by arrows to the circles. This sample of primitive art had been laboriously drawn by Flynn Patrick O'Flynn as an addendum to his report.
"You say this lot came in the diplomatic bag from the embassy in Lorenco Marquez?"
"That's right, sir."
"Who is this fellow?"
Sir Percy checked the name.
"Flynn, Patrick O'Flynn."
"It seems that he is a major in the Portuguese army, sir."
"With a name like that?"
"You'll find these Irishmen everywhere, sir." The captain smiled. "He commands a group of scouts who raid across the border into German territory. They have built up something of a reputation for derring-do." Sir Percy grunted again, dropped the paper, clasped his hands behind his head, and stared across the room at the portrait of Lord Nelson.
"All right, Henry, let's hear what you make of it."
The captain held a flaring match to the bowl of his pipe, and sucked noisily, waved the match to extinguish it, and spoke through wreaths of smoke. "The photograph first. It shows three German engineering officers on the foredeck of a cruiser. The one in the centre was the man killed by the scouts." He puffed again. "Intelligence reports that the cruiser is a B-class, 9-inch guns in raked turrets."
"B-class?" asked Sir Percy. "They only launched two vessels of that class."
"Battenberg and Blücher, sir."
"Blücher," said Sir Percy softly.
"Blücher,"
agreed Henry Green. "Presumed destroyed in a surface action with His Majesty's ships Bloodhound and Orion off the east coast of Africa between the 16th and the 20th of September."
"Go on."
"Well, this officer could have been a survivor from Blücher, who was lucky enough to come ashore in German East Africa and is now serving with von Vorbeck's army."
"Still dressed in full naval uniform, trundling strange round objects about the continent?"
asked Sir Percy sceptically. "An unusual duty, I agree, sir."
"Now, what do you make of these things?"
With one finger, Sir Percy prodded Flynn's diagram in front of him.
"Wheels," said Green.
"For what?"
"Transporting material."
"What material?"
"Steel plate."
"Now, who would want steel plate on the east coast of Africa?"
mused Sir Percy. "Perhaps the captain of a damaged battlecruiser?"
"Let's go down to the plotting room."
Sir Percy heaved his bulk out of the chair and headed for the door. His shoulders hunched, massive jaw jutting, Admiral Howe brooded over the plot of the Indian Ocean.
"Where was this column intercepted?" he asked.
"Here, sir." Green touched the vast map with the pointer. "About 15 miles southeast of Kibiti. It was moving southwards towards..." He did not finish the statement, but let the tip of the marker slide down onto the complexity of islands that cluttered around the mouth of the long black snake that was the Rufiji River.
"Admiralty plot for East Africa, please."
Sir Percy turned to the lieutenant in charge of the plot, and the lieutenant selected volume 2 of the blue-jacketed books that lined the shelf on the far wall. "What are the sailing directions for the Rufiji mouth?" "Ras Pompwe to Kikunya mouth, including Mto Rufiji and Rufiji Delta, latitude 8.17 degrees south, longitude 39.2 degrees east. For 50 miles, the coast is a maze of low, swampy, mangrove-covered islands,
intersected by creeks comprising of the delta of Umtoro, Fiji. During the rainy season, the whole area of the delta is frequently inundated. The coast of the delta is broken by 10 large mouths, 8 of which are connected at all times with Umtoro, Fiji. Sir Percy interrupted peevishly, "What is all this Umto business?"
"Arabic word for river, sir."
"Well, why don't you say so? Carry on." "With the exception of Simba Uranga Mouth and Kikunya Mouth, all other entrances are heavily shoaled and navigable only by craft drawing 1 meter or less."
"Concentrate on those two, then," grunted Sir Percy, and the lieutenant turned the page.
"Simba Uranga Mouth, used by coasting vessels engaged in the timber trade. There is no definite bar, and in 1911 the channel was reported by the German Admiralty as having a low river level mean of 10 fathoms. The channel is bifurcated by a wedge-shaped island, Rufiji Yawakai, and both arms afford secure anchorage to vessels of large burden. However, holding ground is bad, and securing to trees on the bank is more satisfactory. Floating islands of grass and weed are common."
"All right."
Sir Percy halted the recitation, and every person in the plotting room looked expectantly at him. Sir Percy was glowering at the plot, breathing heavily through his nose.
"Where is Blucher's plaque?" he demanded harshly.
The lieutenant went to the locker behind him and came back with the black wooden disc he had removed from the plot 2 months previously. Sir Percy took it from him and rubbed it slowly between thumb and forefinger. There was complete silence in the room. Slowly, Sir Percy leaned forward across the map and placed the disc with a click upon the glass top. They all stared at it. It sat sinister as a black cancer where the green land met the blue oceans.
"Communications,"
grunted Sir Percy, and the yeoman of signals stepped forward with his pad ready.
"Dispatch to Commodore commanding Indian Ocean. Captain Joyce, HMS Renounce. Maximum priority. Message reads: Intelligence reports indicate high probability...